Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you now in Jesus' name that your word is alive and full of power, sharper than any double-edged sword, and we receive it now. Thank you, Lord, for it. We give you praise for it in advance. In Jesus' name, we declare it done, that we will never, ever be the same. And Satan, I remind you, you are defeated, and we resist you. You flee. We don't flee from you. You run from us. So we resist you now in Jesus' name. You are headed to the lake of fire forever. You will be tormented, so you have no business messing with us. We are God's people. And so we curse you from this existence of this place and from this proceedings of the word of God coming forth in Jesus' name. Call the blessings of God upon your people and everywhere we call it done. In Jesus' name we call it done. And everybody said amen. Say, this is my Bible. I am what the word of God says that I am. I have what the word of God says that I have. I can do what the word of God says that I can do. I am a hearer of God's word on purpose, but I'm not just a hearer. I am also a doer of God's word. And because I am a doer and not just a hearer of the word of God, my life is blessed. This is my Bible. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. In Jesus' name, I declare it done, and everybody said, amen. Go ahead and be seated, please. Let's go to a couple of areas of scripture. First of all, let's go to that Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse number 1 through 20. We read through the entire thing last time we were together. There were some things that I left undone concerning this. Go with me also to 1 Peter chapter 3. Chapter 5 and verse number 3. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 3. Say, the word is alive in me. The word of God, you need to see it like food. Now, God put in my heart years ago when we first started in ministry, he said, every person is born addicted to something. Every one of us have an addiction. Everybody's got an addiction problem. Now, a lot of people don't understand this, but if you begin to understand this, you'll understand how to fix yourself with God's help. Every person is born with an addiction. You think I'm lying, don't you? I don't care who you are. If you're a human being on this planet, if you're a creature on this planet, you have an addiction. You have an addiction. Every person on this planet has an addiction. Number one, you have an addiction to food. You got to eat. Some of you know that you got to eat and you eat too much. We work on that. But we're addicted to sticking stuff in our mouth to get nutrients. Our body knows. And sometimes our body will tell us what we need to eat. And it's not just pregnant women that go after pickles and ice cream. But, you know, sometimes your body will tell you, you know, you get a craving for some citrus. I really would like to get some fruit. Or, you know, you get a craving for certain things. I remember we were traveling internationally, and we were with some folks that actually were athletes. They weren't really with our group, but they had been out of the United States for a long time. And they said, man, I'm really craving some orange juice or some kind of fruit. Because in the region that we were in, there wasn't much fruit there. And God has created us with an addiction. And he told me that we were probably about 5 years old in ministry on Pacific Avenue in a little old restaurant. He told me that. He said, listen, your objective, your assignment, along with each person that comes to this church, is to help them to get that addiction changed from whatever it is to me. They need to become addicted to my word. To where you crave word more, the word of God more than you crave food. Because this is your food. Receiving the word of God spiritually and will physically and even soulishly feed you. We need the food of the word. We need the bread of life to have life. So in this 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 3. Let's look at verse number 2 back up again like we had to do last week. It says to the shepherds, shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers. You need somebody over you. I need somebody over me. Serving as overseers, not by compulsion, shepherds. Don't do it because you're made to do it. But you do it willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly. See, anytime you do what is pleasing to God, anytime you get obedient, you're going to get blessed. And see, that goes for ministers as well, pastors as well, shepherds as well. When we do what God has called us to do, because many, many people will not do what ministers are called to do. I wouldn't do it if I wasn't called to do it, because I need the anointing to do this. I rely on the anointing of God. That's how all these musicians showed up. That's how this man received his healing, and that mass disappeared within 24 hours. I'm saying a mass on his stomach disappeared. I don't doubt it was there. He knew it was there, but it disappeared overnight. Why? Because of the anointing. I wouldn't do this without the anointing. It's the burden removing, yoke destroying power of God, and we operate through the anointing. So there's many people that will try to be pastors. They try to shepherd the flock of God, but they get messed up. They start looking at as overseers, as a boss. I tell you how to live. I ain't telling you nothing. I'll hint to you. You take what you want. I'm not going to go to your house. I haven't been. How many? Okay, here we go. Besides my, she can even raise her hand. I got my sister in here, and I got my son in here. And my son-in-law right now, and my daughter and daughter-in-law, I think they had to step out for a minute. But how many of you have been over your house? Raise your hand. We prayed for her family for a funeral. Her mother passed away. Anybody else? Been to their house? Yes, that was, your husband was ministering. Two people. And of course, my son-in-law, I've been to their house. But see, I'm not going to your house to try to make you live a certain way. I'm not going to force you to do anything. I'm your overseer only from the example standpoint. You're supposed to look at us, not just, well, everything always goes good for them. It does not always go good. It goes very well for us, but we have challenges too. But that's what you learn from. You watch us handle challenges too. As we go through challenges, we have to use the wisdom of God. People expect, well, they're the pastor. Why they got any situation going on? Well, we don't expect for things to happen, and things do go very smoothly for us. But when things do happen, you need to see how we handle them. Now, this is a side trail that we took last week. But you need this, because a lot of people don't even know how to use the pastor or how to be able to receive their shepherd. They just don't know. I am not your professor. I've been a professor. I taught broadcasting at the college level. I am a flight instructor. I'm a ground flight instructor for airplane and about to finish off for helicopter to teach people how to fly before they get in the aircraft. But I'm not your flight instructor. I'm not your prof. I am, in this capacity, your shepherd. Now, God tells me to shepherd, which is to lead, feed, and protect his sheep. That's what a shepherd does. He leads, write it down now. You need to write it down so you don't get confused. He leads, he feeds, and he protects. I don't feed you groceries from Walmart or Safeway, Fred Meyer or Albertson. I feed you the word of God. Now, in the process, we may have some refreshments out there in the foyer. Do we have any today? Oh, man, we missed it today. Normally, we got some food up in there. Okay. I'm here to lead. Lead. In other words, I say, this is the way to go. Follow me. You ain't going to fall in a ditch following me. Now, see, people don't believe that. How can a man? You're just a man, just like, and so are you. You're a man or a woman. Man with a womb. Okay? You don't like that, I know. That's what the word means. Because she came out of man, and God equipped her differently so that she could be able to procreate our children. I thank God for my woman. Thanks, she's not just a man, because she wouldn't be able to have the equipment to bring forth our children. 6'4" Joker sitting right there, man. I'm telling you, that dude is a serious man of God. He ain't no Joker either. He's a serious man of God. And we raised him together. He don't know, he can't say hi to me without saying hi to her. He can't even sign off a text to just me because he grew up with both of us. Mama, dad. We raised him that way, especially because we had time and he grew up in the ministry. We were 4 or 5 years in the ministry when he came. So he didn't know anything else but ministry. His crib was actually in the nursery all the time they was here. My assistant used to walk him around the church when we was busy on the phone. See, we raised him because God, and now my daughter's a little different because we weren't in that full-time staff kind of situation in ministry. I'm just trying to share with you. But I had to be an example to him so that when challenges come to him, well, challenges come to Pastor Don Shorter Jr. No, they come to you. They come to everybody. So he has the wisdom on how to handle them. And it'd be best for you to just pray in the spirit for us so that we can be that example for you. Because if you're assigned here, you can't reassign yourself somewhere else. Now, people do that all the time. I ain't going to that church no more. That's stupid. If God sent you there, you should stay there until God send you somewhere else. And people, I ain't coming to church no more. Where are you going? I don't know. That ain't God. God will take you out only to lead you somewhere. He will only interrupt you because he got somewhere else for you. And even if he doesn't have any something somewhere else for you, you need to sit your rump right there, get mad if you want to, but you sit there and keep receiving that word because you're going to die if you don't receive the word. We spiritually die when we don't receive the word. So shepherd the flock of God. Don't be their buddies. Don't be their golfing chums. Don't sit around and go to movies every week with the congregation. That's not what you're supposed to do. Don't sit there and, you know, try to go shopping with the first lady and all the congregation members going shopping with her. That's not what we're called to do. We're here to shepherd you, to lead, feed, and protect you. So if the enemy wants to come against you, we're coming against him. We will fight for you to the end. I'm with you from the cradle to the grave. I'm there when you're birthed to be able to dedicate you to the Lord. At least the ministers are, my son and all the other ministers here, Minister Terrell, we're here to minister to you. All the way to the grave. We'll be there when they put the first bit of dirt over your coffin. You need somebody that committed to you. And it ain't committed. People aren't committed like that because they just love the people. No, God has to call them. He puts that inside of them. And you should thank God for it, because a lot of people don't care about your funky self. I'm just talking street for a minute, so you'll get it. Okay, I know how to be clear vernacular, T's, S's, and C's. I'm just trying to help you to get it, because there's a lot of people that really don't care about you. And we get mad because they don't care about us. But we're supposed to cast our care upon him anyhow, because he cares for us. It's in the same chapter here. It says shepherd the flock of God. And so what I will do, I will definitely lead, feed, and protect you. It's in me. We're dealing with a thing concerning medical now, because I know the congregation is getting older, some of them. We're getting new millennials and Gen Zers in all the time, but we have a congregation that's baby boomers and beyond that's getting older. And we have to be able to help them, especially the single ones. Single women by themselves don't have anybody to help them. Some of them don't even have their children around. What happens when they end up in the hospital? Who's going to help them? Oh, what do? Just say, well, they ain't here today, so we'll just sing a different song. No, we need to be there to help them. So we're developing something for that reason, medically, so that we can take care of the medical needs of people. Or at least make sure the people that's supposed to be taking care of you in that hospital is doing what's right. Because this is sort of crazy. You can ask me, I went through 6.5 years of the results of not taking care of you right. And we went back to that hospital in Vancouver, Washington. I'm going to start naming it pretty soon. Because, you know, we went back in there to ask them what medicine did they give me that caused me to go into this crazy lifestyle. My mind was just gone. They kicked us out of the hospital. They called security on us and told us to leave and would not give us any information. I'm not angry. I just think that I don't want that to happen to anybody else. Not serving or not by compulsion, but do this willingly. Not for dishonest gain, but eagerly. Continue, move on. Let's go to that third verse. Nor is being lords over those who's entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. That's where I've been trying to get to. An example to the flock. Most of you open boxes from Amazon and you don't read the directions. You don't read the example. You don't look at the examples. You don't do nothing. You just try to take all them screws and all them wires and try to put it together. Think you know what you're doing. You don't know what you're doing. And the thing turns out raggedy. Then you send it back and say it doesn't work. And the reason is because they sent you as an example. They sent you a picture and you didn't look at the picture. You know, and your wife was telling you the whole time, look at the picture. Look at the picture. Look at the picture. I'm guilty. Lord say you guilty. He's telling me. I'm getting busted right now. My wife bought me this thing, exercise for your legs, right? It's automatic. It's like you're riding a bicycle, but you're not. You're sitting down. It's a legs or size or something. Anyhow, so it came. Amazon dropped it off. So I opened the box. It's just a few parts. It ain't a whole lot of parts. Whole time I'm putting this thing together, putting the pedals on it, you know, trying to find out. I wouldn't read the directions. I would not, and most of us are like that. I did look at the pictures. I looked at the pictures. Now, as far, it hasn't blown up on me yet, but I just did in the last couple of days. I put any, I didn't even know it goes backwards too, you know. You know, I've just had the controller and said, what does this do? Whoa, my legs started going backwards. But see, that's how we are. We don't want anybody to try to show us how to live. Don't show me how to live. I know how to live. You don't tell me what to do. I live like I want to live. This is my life. Who said that? Especially if you got born again, you ain't got no life. Your life is hid in him. See, we don't like hearing this stuff. See, I'm too straight sometimes with this stuff because I really believe it. I don't need no life. I need life in him. I was Don Shorter. I was J.J. Jackson. I was a whole lot of people. But I messed that up. And now I want to just, God, whatever you want me to do. And see, maybe it takes getting to 70 to be able to be that way. I don't know. But I do know one thing, that I'm to that point. I am not trying to be me. And what you see ain't me anyhow. This is just me, you know, God let me just say stuff and then I go home. As long as I say what he's saying. But see, we have to realize that God wants us to live a life before him so that he can bless us, because we are his only example of what he will do with a life that's given to him. People are trying to figure out how to live this life. They are trying to figure it out. And then you're walking around on this planet and God wants people to say, see how she's living? Yeah, she's single, but that's all right. See how he's living? He's a married man doing well with his children. Look at this man. This man's ministering the gospel and he preaches the gospel, got fire in him. Look at that man. Yeah, he works with the prisons, but that's all right. He's a policeman, but you know, see how he conducts himself? God wants to use each and every one of us right where we are. So it says, you have been entrusted to us. That's major. I am responsible for you according to what this says. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 13. We might as well just use most of this time for this anyhow, because I ain't got much time to go anywhere else. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 13. Watch this now. Look at verse number 7, I believe it is. We'll look at Hebrews 13 and verse number 7. It says, remember those who rule over you. Y'all like my music? I think I can play the drums on that one. No, I'm just kidding. Okay, I got 5 minutes. That's my 5 minute warning. Now, remember those who rule over you. My question is to you Christians. First of all, do you allow anyone to rule over you? Sure gets quiet up in here, man. I tell you, you should see the eyeballs. It's, you know, if it ain't cutting me, you know, it's rolling them. Some of them just closed. You talk with your face, not with your mouth. I can read it. I can read it. I've been doing this too long. So you got to get to the point where you're looking for, see, I'm looking for somebody to be over me. Truthfully, I will actually, in my life, until God put the anointing upon my life to be a set man, to one to set this church up, to set this ministry. I'm the set man. I'm the one that originated this ministry. I'm the one that built this building through the Spirit of God. I'm the one that started with my wife and I, my two daughters. My son wasn't here yet. I am the set man. I set this church up. Just like Moses was known as the set man. The founders are known as set men in the Bible. So as this person, I really, before I got the anointing on me to do this, though, I really wanted to be number two under somebody that was very powerful in ministry. I'd rather be, you know, somebody's assistant than to be the person in charge of everything. I just didn't care for that. But God gave me the desire to do what I'm doing. And see, some of us, we don't even feel like we're a part of anything unless we're running it. And you got to get out of that. Because sometimes you ain't never going to run the thing. You are supposed to be there to help with somebody else. And see, why go out there and try to act like you in charge of everything and starve, spiritually, physically, soulishly, starve, when you could be doing what God would have you to do in the kingdom underneath somebody that's anointed to do what you think you're supposed to be doing. I'm doing a little ministry training here. See, and we got a whole lot of chiefs, and I'll say it, the Indians are coming back anyhow. And they need to. That's stupid. But a whole lot of chiefs, well, just say India, okay? Whole lot of chiefs and no Indians. I mean, a whole lot of colonels and no sergeants. We need to buck privates, too. We need everybody. We need somebody. We need people cleaning the latrine. Talk to me. They're important. Go use that thing without them cleaning it. Okay? So I didn't want to be. Now, my wife don't like me saying this because it sounds like I don't want to be who I am to you now, but I'm not saying that. I didn't search out to be a pastor that started a church. I wanted to help those that were already successful in ministry in a great way. I was satisfied with that. But God wasn't. And we actually would sit around and talk about, sure need to be on a good word of faith, word teaching church here in Tacoma, Washington. We'd sit there. We was at my brother's office. My brother who passed away, he had a huge business. But anyhow, when we'd be sitting in his office, saying, man, when somebody comes up with a word of faith church, we going. We going to help. Woo, we going to work so hard. And here God called me. So I didn't expect that. But he called me to it. But before that, I was faithful with another man's. I've been faithful with even pastors in this city that don't even talk to me no more. I helped them. I helped them to get voted in. And then they act like they don't know me. I can call names. One begins with a K, first name. I helped a lot of folks in this city because I knew media. So I could help them to be able to get people there. I ain't bragging, just telling you the facts. It's just the truth, whether I say it or not. But you've done things, and you need to know God uses you. So remember those who rule over you. First of all, find somebody to rule over you. If it ain't me, find somebody. Because you're going to screw your life up if you don't listen to nobody. I'll say it again. You're going to mess your life up until you start listening to somebody that's hearing from God. This is why you come here and you get, today you're getting 25 minutes of power. It's supposed to guide your life all the way until next Sunday if you can't make it Wednesday. Now that's under the anointing. It says, remember those who rule over you who have spoken the word of God to you. I'm not reading the newspaper to you. I'm speaking the word to you. Whose faith follow. Do you see anything that has come here by faith? I'm qualified for you to listen to me. I ain't trying to, your pastor, whoever you go to, wherever you go, if they got to have something to show for what they come. They can't be talking about healing all the time. Nobody get healed. Talking about prosperity. They got holes in the back of their pants trying to turn sideways to get out of the church. Yeah, God should bless you if you're going to do what's right. You're going to go to heaven because you lived right, right? There are rewards in the kingdom, and there's nothing wrong with that. I'm not here for the rewards. I didn't even know I would be here. But I'm here by the grace of God. And you ought to thank God you got somebody willing to give up their life to be able to come here. And I thank God for my pastors. Dr. Frederick K.C. Price worked for, I think it was Coca-Cola or Pepsi-Cola. He had a job, but he quit that to go into ministry and to bless the world, that apostle. I'm thankful. I've been in his house, traveled with him, learned the example. Sometimes I find myself doing stuff that he does without even knowing I'm doing them. Because he became that one that I followed. I remember those who, and I sowed into his life because he blessed my life. He showed me how to treat my wife. I watched him at dinner straighten her knife and her fork up for her, for Dr. Betty. I watched him tip more than I ever seen anybody tip for the valet to bring his car. And then one day he asked me, "Won't you tip today for the car?" He said, "I was so glad I had some cash on me because that brother would tip. Because he knew he was an example to the flock. And he ain't getting no $5. He ain't getting no $5. See, I was fortunate to be able to be around. And he's just one of many, you know. Jesse Duplan is another one. I know some of y'all, you know, whatever. But Jesse Duplan is another one. That man is off the charts. And that's who God had us to be able to work with also, you know, and the Hinn family, the Benny Hinn. I know y'all want to say, whatever. And the Copelands, Kenneth Copeland and Gloria Copeland, all them. All these people blessed our lives just by teaching the word. And, you know, I don't write no, get no autographs from them. Nobody care about that. But by teaching the word, I remember those who rule over me. I listen to what they say. I don't walk around like I know everything. I need people to help me. Why go through the stupid stuff, bumping your head when somebody already bumped theirs? Why not ask them, what happens if you do this? Yeah. Well, you might end up in the hospital. Okay, I won't do that then. What happens if I do that? You probably go bankrupt. What happens if I do that? Your wife is probably going to leave you. What happens if I do this? Well, you ain't going to want to do that because your kid's going to think you're stupid. Simple things. We want to make this complex. It's not complex. Life is not that complex. We've learned recently that medical stuff is not that complex. Eat food, drink water. If you need some other minerals or nutrients, get them. Either intravenously, if you can't take them in your mouth. But other than that, there ain't too much else to it. Make sure your bowels are moving and you got clear urine. That's it. That's the planet. Ain't much else to it. Eat stuff that's green, including greens and cornbread. Now, I know I got your attention now. Eat stuff that's good for you. Eat something fresh. Exercise. Do the leg exercise. I'm out of time. Did you all get something out of this? Come on, give God praise. We're gonna go back to Deuteronomy chapter 30 next time. But we had to cover these things that we had to cover concerning music and all these other areas. Let's seal this time in the word, though. Okay, I'll do that. Lord is putting my heart to you. I want you to write down three scriptures that I want you to study before next week. Joel chapter 2 and verse number 25, we couldn't get to it. Isaiah 61 and verse number 7, we couldn't get to it. And also Jeremiah 30 and verse number 17. During your time, did you get these? If you can get any of them, okay? Joel 2 and 25, Joel, J-O-E-L, 2 verse 25. Isaiah, 61 and 7, 61st chapter and 7th verse. And also Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, 30 verse number 17. I'll even give you a fourth one, which will be a key. Isaiah 40 and verse number 31. These scriptures we will visit next week. I may start having outlines here to hand out to you so that you can be able to know where I'm going. Would you like that? Okay, I can do that. Okay, so you need to know what God is saying about you, because he is crazy about you. He is. He's bananas over you. You are special to him. Say, I'm special to God. Say it again. Say, I'm special to God. Say it one more time. Say, I'm special to God. Say it one more time. Say, I'm special to God. I'll read one last scripture, and that's Isaiah 43, verse 21. Go there, please. I've read this before during our prayer time on Friday nights, which we have midnight prayer and prayers this Friday. We start fasting this Friday. Pray and fast. It says, this people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise. You are in that number. This people have I formed for myself. There's some people on this planet like you that he formed for himself. This people I have formed for my, I mean, when he was creating you in your mother's womb, said, this one's for me. Mm-hmm. This child is going to live for me. Some of you are known as the Joseph in your family. You need to go on and live with it and help to get that, the rest of that family redeemed. But this people, say, I'm that people. I say, I'm those people. This people have I formed for myself. You try to mess with them, I'm coming after you. They shall declare my praise. In other words, they're going to be people that just give me praise because of what I'm doing in their lives. And we need to give God praise all the time. Say amen to that. Come on, stand up. Let's just praise the Lord in Jesus' name. Let's just praise him. Father, we thank you. Let's thank him. I don't care what you're going through. Let's just thank God anyhow because he's so good. Come on. God sets the ambushments against your enemy when we give praise. Let's give him praise. We give you praise, God. This people you formed for yourself, that they will show forth praise. Come on. Come on now. Open your mouth. Clap your hands and open your mouth. Clap your hands, open your mouth. You got to learn how to praise. You're not just clapping your hands. You got to say something. Say, God, thank you. Say, thank you, Lord. Say, I received you. Say, God, you're good. Say something. You got to use your mouth to praise. You don't just praise with your hands. You don't just clap. You got to say something. Proclaim his goodness. Proclaim that he's mighty. Proclaim that he's almighty. Proclaim that he is your help. Proclaim that he's your victory. He's your prosperity. He's your health. Come on, he is your life and length of days, is in that Deuteronomy chapter 30. It's not what you have, it's who he is. Come on, give him praise. I don't hear enough praise. I don't hear enough praise. I don't hear enough praise. Praise him in Jesus' name. Glory to God. Father, in the name of Jesus, I have delivered what you've given to me to deliver to these people, both in form and also in word. And I pray, God, that you would receive the glory for it. I'm not working for nobody but you. And so I ask that you be pleased, God, with what I've delivered to these people, which is your word. Now, Father, if this is your word, I pray again that you confirm your word with signs following. Cause them to receive the blessings of God because of obedience. As they submit to their leadership in the kingdom, and even on the job, bless them because of their obedience, their willingness to be able to be led, fed, and protected. We will give you the glory, God. There's no doubt, because we were people that were formed for yourself. to show forth your praise. We thank you, Lord, for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Come on, clap your hands one last time. Remain standing. Heads bowed, eyes closed, Christians praying and interceding one for another. I want to give you an opportunity to receive from the Lord. If you're visiting with us for the very first time, this is a very important part of the service, a time where you can make a decision and make a change in your life. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed and Christians praying and interceding one for another, here you go. I want you to simply raise your hand, then I'll give you other directions. Listen to me. If God has assigned you to this church, you need to go ahead and follow what God is telling you to do. If God has sent you here to be able to receive your eternal life, salvation, then respond to that. If God has brought you here because you've been wayward, away from God, and you need to recommit your life to God, you need to do that. If God brought you here so that you can receive the Holy Spirit, the power of God, you need that gift. Here we go. Four areas. Number one, perhaps you're here today, you're not saved, you're not even a Christian, you're not sure if you will go to heaven. Hell is your destination. You don't like to talk about it. You don't even want people to say nothing about it. But you know you do not have a relationship with God, and without that, you cannot see the kingdom of God. You cannot even see it. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, Christians praying and interceding one for another. And I'm being led to say to those of you online, there's some of you, you're not saved. You like godly things. You like Christian things. You're a pretty tolerant person of spiritual things, but you need Jesus right now. If you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you need to cry out to him right now in Jesus' name. If you're here today, you desire to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, even if you're visiting for the very first time, young man, I'm talking to you too. Put your hand up high if that's your desire to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. If you need to receive Jesus today, put your hand up high. Thank God for those of you that have been watching on live stream. You call out to God if you have not received Jesus as your Lord and Savior. He's not that far away from you. We'll see you next time.